Black Thunderbird, Eagle, also known as Dr. Malachi Zeok L. The chief of Yamasee Native American Moors of the Creek Nation, registry number 208-1999. Go ahead, there's a question you'd like to ask me.
Yes, how are you doing this morning?
I feel well.
That's good. Well, we just completed an interview prior to this one regarding to the before the trial.
That's correct.
So I'd like to ask you some questions that maybe the public wasn't aware of that took place during the trial.
Okay.
The trial started January 5th, 2004.
That's right.
And it was a closed courtroom. What is your stance or your position on why the courtroom was closed?
Well, the judge was placed there purposely. Ever since June 30th when I stood up and I made my declaration of jurisdiction status, and they knew I was at a genealogist tracing out the charts, and these genealogists had put their seal of approval, and we got the whole family chart for me straight on back to the Massachusetts Indians, all the way coming down to Cherokee, all the way down to the with the Seminoles, and of course our family tribe, Yamasee. They knew we had all the facts of jurisdiction, right? They knew that every time I stepped in court, I pointed out my jurisdiction rights and how they had no rights over me. My inalienable rights were being blocked. I don't live by their laws or by their government. They knew that was coming. And so what they did is whatever lawyer they threw at me, and they were giving me lawyers that I didn't hire on, like the Garland firm, right, who's there, placed there sole purposely to draw rich black money so that they can give them pleas and mess their careers up. Right? I didn't hire those people. I didn't sign any contracts with those people. I didn't make any verbal agreements with those people. My lawyer was Leroy Johnson, first black senator in Georgia. They pushed him out the way and they jumped on it so they can sabotage this case. The purpose of this case is to establish certain precedents in the state of Georgia. One is this is the first time the feds ever got involved in what they call a sex case. You follow?
Yes.
The second, this is the first time Middle District Georgia got involved with a RICO case. So they were trying to set a precedence with this organization as they call us the Nawapians and avoid now the Yamasee Native American tribal name so that they can keep it as a religious organization. And this is why the case was all in court based around religious and religious belief and who I say I am and who they believe I to be, so that they can eventually, after this case, set a precedence to go after all of the black ministers in Georgia, like Creflo and all the other prominent black ministers, so they can come after them. Somebody can come out the framework 10 years, 15 years, and say he did something to them, he felt them, or he did this thing, get three or four people to collaborate. That was on salary by the government, by the way, because we found out the witnesses were on salary, receiving favorable concessions, which came out in the court. Right? I know I didn't answer your question yet, but I want to get this on point.
Okay.
Right? Receiving favorable concessions, like Jake York was paid by them. We know that to be a fact. And he was sent out to scare other people, to tell other people, we got information on you, and if you don't say this, and you're going to take your kids away, we're going to lock you up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they had got him because he was involved in all kind of drug trafficking and things in New York with that organization he belonged to called the Junior Mafia, and his involvement with Little Kim. If you look on the back of her album, you see him there as Jake York of Yorktown Records. That's probably a certain group of people that's been, you know, and then his own best friend came forth called Damien. And he told the secrets and revealed the whole plot. Now, to answer your question, now that that's on point, right? Why did they close the court? The judge had to close the court because they knew they didn't have the witnesses. They had boasted from day one that they had all these children that had been molested. And they said they're going to put them up there and they can't wait. And I remember when I was in Atlanta, when Mr. Bright came on with his new indictment, the first thing he said in the newspaper, in Atlanta Constitutional Journal, and News Today, he said, I want to put every child up there because I want every part of this case heard.
Mm.
That was his whole new thing when he came up with all this new indictment. Mm. As time went on, they realized that as they called people and interviewed people, that most of the people that they had as victims were saying nothing ever happened.
Right.
And that they isolated down to a handful of people who had corrupt records. For instance, Sakina Parham had charges against her for abusing my son. And she knew that she had filed child support in Clark County for me, but not in Putnam County, along with Pauline Rogers. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to court in Fulton County with Pauline Rogers, and I won legal custody of my children. And then Sakina Parham got scared because she knew once it comes back, she came to court there, and they found out she had abused my child, that I would automatically get my son. So she withdrew and joined in the club and joined into the clique. Then you had Barbara Noel. She had bought a house while she was on welfare. She was receiving welfare in Athens and receiving welfare in somewhere in Georgia. We got the documents, right? And then she went and purchased a house of $135,000 with Jacob York. Jacob York went to a Damien Pryor, who was one of his best friends, who used to adjust checks for them to make fraudulent checks. And we got the records and the proof, and the checks and the documents, and went to him and told him how he needed this house so he can get these girls to come off the land, so he can set up a halfway house so he can coerce them to bring York down.
Mm.
You with me?
Yes, I am.
So then what Damien did is said, I'm not doing it. He got mad at Damien, but not before Damien was allowed to hang out with him at some of his gay and freaky parties and video it, okay?
Okay.
Now, Barbara Noel, which is also named as Belle Keith, we have a document on her webpage, which we had traced back to her, no doubt, where she's making a bribe while I was incarcerated on the lockdown in Atlanta, where she's trying to bribe us and telling us how to launder money. This is how they got their tailoring or laundering money concept to bring in a RICO. It came from Barbara Noel. We have the document where she wrote and said, give me a certain amount of money and put it in this kind of money orders and break it down like this and everything will go away.
Hmm.
We got a bunch of letters from her son admitting to me that he's very sorry, that his mother and them put him up to do this for a lot, you know, for money, and told him how now that they're out of the community, they can't survive, and they don't know how to do anything, and they need to go, and the community should be paying them, and so they just get money out of the community, so then it was easy for Jake to solicit them and get them in. Then the same thing with the sister was having mental problems all the time, so he tied her in it. So now they got a package of people that he then convinced that this is how we're going to work this. They all lived in the house together, they rehearsed their stories, and they started soliciting other people who was what they call dissidents or disgruntled members who were put out for various reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? Most of the times it was something like Ada, which is Nicole Lopez, which is Barbara Noel's daughter, the oldest daughter, by each one of the children about different fathers,
mm-hmm.
right? She, a letter surfaced where she's having a party with a bunch of teenage boys underage while she was overage, and she's admitting having sex with them and drinking and smoking marijuana and stealing a bunch of different things. That letter was entered, a portion of that letter was entered, I should say, into evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, they planned on having an open court, make a big scene out of it. The judge was smart. So what he said was, I'm going to move this down to a town called Brunswick. So it happened that Brunswick is the same town that the Amasi Native American Moors had their conflict with the Confederates, and he happens to be, Judge Ashley Royal happens to be a descendant directly of those Confederates. This is no coincidence, right? And he took it down to Brunswick where he practiced law and lived for 20 years. This is no coincidence. He chose the jury himself. I sat there. Every time we would see somebody, he would say no and then pick somebody else. He had already had these people picked. The people outside in the courtroom, because when you have a jury pick, you're sitting in a separate room. Outside in the courtroom, the people were gathered, over 200 people, waiting to be selected. As they were coming in, he would ask him, this Ashley Royal, right? And we have the minutes of this here. Did you hear about the case? They would say yes. The whole purpose of pulling the jury is because they're not supposed to hear about the case, so they're not biased or prejudiced. They would say yes. Where did you hear about the case? I heard about the case from the Savannah newspaper. I heard about the case from the Brunswick newspaper. I heard about the case on the radio this morning. And did you hear about a guilty plea? Yes, I heard that the man pleaded guilty, so he must be guilty. He still put those people on the jury panel.
Mm-hmm.
After they came in and said they were discussing it outside, inside the court before they came in. And this, out of the 40 or 50 people that he did bring in, everyone said not one person said they never heard nothing about the case, or never heard nothing about the Nwapis, or never heard nothing about Malachi York, or what they called. Every single one of them admitted to having heard something about this case. He still put them on the jury panel, and then he shuffled the jury panel in a way where it looked like there were some blacks up there, which would make it somewhere near a jury of my peers, but by the time they came down, those were what they call the sit-ins, and they were pulled off. And the one black woman who was left up there is the one woman who said, this case is a farce, and I know it's going to get overturned, and I don't want to be a part of it. So she resulted in a hung jury, but what he did is he made all the juries anonymous so nobody could find them, so he could pick them and get rid of them so nobody can trace this out. So he set it up like that. So they moved it down there, but he moved his excuse that he'd been monitoring the Nwapians for years as a judge in the Middle District, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said they've been getting unfavorable press. We have this in his own motion. Unfavorable press for years. So now, if we begin unfavorable press in the Middle District for years, how did Sheriff Howard DeSales or Frederick Bright pull a grand jury out of what they would call a tinted environment? He said the only place I could find in the state, or in outside the state, would be down in Southern Brunswick. Well, Southern Brunswick invited our lodge to come down into a parade, unbeknown to them, so he turned around and said that we passed our flyers, but not one of the people that was called into the judge's chambers, not one of them said that they saw it or read about it in a flyer. The judge himself introduced two people, said one is a furniture man, one's a friend of his. He never had those people show up in court. That was further hearsay.
Right.
Point being, they closed the case down once they read our net and they saw that we had over 3,500,000 60,000 people who are reading the case. And we're putting the details of the case up there about the people, the letters they exchanged, their confessions, their recantments, their diseases that they have, so they can see it. Everybody, where their family comes from, who their fathers was, and about Jake and his history. And meanwhile, the judge admits on the court, I was on the net and I read their stuff on the net. He admitted that while in the court. So he saw the facts. He saw that they had a disease, had venereal diseases, chlamydia, and herpes, and I didn't have it. Right? He saw that there was no DNA on anything that they claimed. He heard one of the so-called witnesses say there was two pillars and one was thrown away. He had two pillars in court. So they actually created another pillar to put it in because some of the other witnesses kept saying two pillars, but the person who took over the house in Putnam County, when I moved the clock, right, that person there changed the house, painted the house up, fixed the house up, and I guess created another pillar to match. So he saw all of that, and he said, we got to close this case down so the world don't see it, so we can dictate on our televisions what we want the public to think. So we can make, like, we got witnesses on the stand, and we can make like what they're saying is true. And that's a tactic they used to close this case and put it down there in that small town, and then put a military flamethrowers. They had all kind of weapons so nobody could get near the court. They had me locked down in what they call a holding cell. A holding cell is supposed to be a temporary spot you sit while you wait to go to trial. You shouldn't be there more than a couple of hours. I had to live there on the floor for 3 straight weeks. My medicine was messed up. My facility for cleaning, I wasn't getting proper cleaning. I was only allowed to walk from one room, which is about 20 feet, into the court and back. And bad food, and then arrogant marshals with attitudes. And I had to stay there for the whole 3 weeks through that trial with no mail, no contact with family, no telephone, no business, and only one lawyer who they wouldn't even give a continuance so he had time to fight the case. Because they knew once I finally got the right to fire the Garland firm publicly, because they said I hired him and I didn't, that I needed an attorney. And the judge wouldn't. That judge Royal would not. And I said, my constitutional rights are being violated. I need a continuance so we can go on and fight this case. I want to work with this man here. And they said, no. All that's a part of the motion. I'm going to call you back so we can continue this.
Okay.
Contact. contacted by phone or invited to parties and tried to get involved, and they said no. And these witnesses are all standing by with their testimonies, and they've been written down as affidavits. The judge tried to block it. Damien Pryor, one of his right-hand men who came in the court to tell him, I was there, let me explain to you exactly what took place. I knew the whole case, blah, blah, blah. The judge heard his statement, which we have in a minute, and then said, no, we're not letting the jury hear this. The medical doctors came in and explained about how these children had no damage, there was no tears, no scars, and they made a very important point, because they had a bunch of white doctors up there saying, well, scars heal fast. The difference between black people and white people are negroids and caucasoids, is that negroids keloid. We do not heal the same way. We always have scar tissue left because we have a strong amount of hemoglobin and plasma in our blood, so we keloid, so scars are there. So if all these children would be lifted from that young age, there'd have to be some scar. Now, one girl ends up with a scar, but she's one of the girls who gets to understand and admits that she never had sex, but she's a twin to another girl who doesn't have a scar, and that scar was way up in there, and they proved that it had nothing to do with sexual contact. That was some other illness, but they tried to make it look like that for the public when they came on the news. They was making it look like they had all these kids on the stand when they didn't have anybody on the stand. Their 308s, which is supposed to be their statements, were created by the FBI agents, and then the witness they put up there couldn't even collaborate the statements that was in the PSI, and they were literally turning around saying to them, well, I never said that, and I never said this, and this is supposed to be their witnesses. I didn't say that. I don't remember that. No, I had a boyfriend. We had sex. Another one gets up. Her mother gets on the stand, and she literally says, but you told me after you left the land, while we was in the doctor's office, you was being examined, and you was still a virgin. How did you end up in this case? One of the prosecutors started attacking the mother for telling the truth. She said, I'm only telling you the truth. When my daughter was getting ready to leave the land, she said the last thing she said she wanted to do is I want to run down the hill and say goodbye to Baba. And she said, I couldn't understand. If you're telling me that you're leaving this place because something happened to you, why would you be going down there to the person you claim did it to you? That don't make no sense to me. And the mother said that on the stand, and we have to minister to that. And then she admitted that when they got out of the place and went to the doctor, got examination, that she was found to be a virgin. And then we have a diary when she left, and a promiscuous just comes up in a diary while she's in the bathroom having sex with two or three boys, and she wrote this herself. They didn't want to let that in as evidence, but we got that in as evidence. So you can see that the case was well set up. It was a well plot. The whole plot is to get established in Georgia a precedence to go after Christian ministers, to go after black, wealthy ministers in their big churches, and they're trying to use us as example. That's why they would let us remain a lodge or fraternity. They had to turn us into a church and a cult. And regardless how many times it gets proven we wasn't a religious organization, they would pull us back. If that was proven we was a tribe or Indian, they would pull it back to religious, religion, religion. It was pumping that during the trial to the point where, out of all the evidence that the jury asked for, they asked for our holy book, something that wasn't even entered into evidence. They didn't ask for any of the documents about DNA, or the documents or the medical records, or the statements. They asked for a holy book that was not even a part of the case, and the judge had to turn it down. They asked us. We said, sure, they can send it. The prosecution said, no, don't send it down. And the judge said, no, because the prosecution and the judge was all working together through the whole case. That's why we tried to get the judge recused 3 times during the case, because when the prosecution was failing to find things, he would tell his assistant, look this up for me on the sidebar, whisper it, and then give it over to the prosecution. And we was like, wait a minute, you can't do that. He said, I do what I feel like in my court, because I'm the gatekeeper here. And he just said, we knew right then it was a setup. I know I'm talking fast. I'm trying to get as much as I can on tape for your questions for the tape. Go ahead.
So basically what you're saying is the closed courtroom, a lot was going on that the public could not see.
A whole lot was going on. I mean, the attorney, Adrian Patches, on several occasions said, listen, I need to present my witness. The judge said, we want to know everybody that's on your witness list. And he said, I'm not giving y'all everybody on my witness list so y'all know who to go sabotage. Meanwhile, Sheriff Harvey Richard Seals and his cronies, who was over 5 hours away from Putnam County, while Putnam County, by the way, a prisoner was breaking out of their jail, right? There was 5 hours away down there, and it wasn't authorized and it wasn't deputized. They were passing out bogus subpoenas to all of our witnesses trying to scare them. How do we know they're bogus? Because we backtracked the dates and the log to see whether there was any docket numbers to the court date, and there was none. The whole purpose was Sheriff Harvey to signal to them what they're sending his men out, and they see that person there is one of their witnesses, and that was one of the so-called victims that's on their side. Here, you're going to be subpoenaed to be this here. You're going to be subpoenaed to be this. They threatened Kathy Johnson, and they brought in, which is really my son. So they put him on the stand. He said, nothing never happened to me. And then they put an agent on and said, he told me something never happened. So we said, really? Hold him over to the next day. We hold him over to the next day just so we don't want to put him on the stand again. We said, why not? He wants to come back in and he wants to refute what that person said. Because he says, nothing never happened to me. And the medical record shows nothing never happened to him. And he has very negroid features, so his keloids would definitely show. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so they, when they dragged him out there, because he told the truth, they took him to back to a, what they call a boarding home, and wouldn't let him come outside now because he told the truth in court. Public ain't seen that. First he was allowed to come out, all of a sudden now they lock him down and say, because you told the truth now, you know, we're locking you up. Because they can't, now his statement is still in the PSR, and it's not supposed to be there.
Mm.
These are the kind of things they did. Yes, the purpose was to close the court so the public would not see what's really going on down here. Wouldn't see who had the evidence. Wouldn't see, everything was in our favor. There was, like I said, no DNA. How can you say this person was screwing on this pillar every day for years and there's no DNA? And you said up until the day before, up until nights before the arrest, which was May 8th. So you can't say that the DNA expired. If you're saying that, it would still be there.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? No DNA, right? I have none of the diseases that they claim. Most of them, some of them girls and big girls, because none of them were kids. They brought in a bunch of adults. They brought in four people and they was all 17. One of the people they brought in from jail. She had been arrested and they tried to keep this from the public for possession of a deadly weapon and a stolen vehicle that she had stole. Her mother went on the stand and lied and knew she lied while on the stand said to the jury, I only bribed Mr. York, not bribed him, and laughed and said, I told my mother all kind of lies because I was afraid. This is actually it. Got on the stand and said, I lied to the grand jury. Sister came and said, he came to me. I didn't go to him. He spent a week with me crying, telling me how they're putting him up to this and he don't want to do this. And then he said, get me a pencil and paper. And he wrote these letters and then sent them over. And by the time they got to Garland them and to Manny or Aurora, and them was also working with the system, pretending that they were my attorneys, they turned it around and sabotaged this boy's perfectly clean recantment by telling him, at the end of this, your mother might still go to jail. You could go to jail. Your sister's going to go to jail. And they're going to go after your other sister. The one that's a child molester. And so he scared the boy again and made him, and they fabricated another letter. And they bounced back and forth with three or four recantments. I mean, ridiculous stuff. They had to hide this from the public so they could put on the news what they want the public to see so the facts would never get out. But they didn't take into consideration that we're very literate people and we go to the internet and we got international involvement. We are all the way from Africa, all the way to Europe. We're in Hague, we're in Belgium, we're in Holland, we're in London, we're in Liberia, we're in Ghana, we're in the Congo, we're in South Africa, we're in Eritrea, and we got officials and throughout the Caribbean starting to write letters. We're getting letters from all the governors, and some of the letters have come back saying, we know there's something shady about this case, and these are elected officials saying there's something shady about this case. They can all see it, because the way they close it down, put military with flamethrowers around the courthouse in Brunswick, there was not one incident whatsoever. The New Orleans never had an incident. Now they're starting this new trend of arresting niggas on the streets and telling them to say that they're New Orleans and say that you did. But they gave themselves away a couple of days ago. They said they arrested some New Orleans and they had dogs and marijuana. A, New Orleans don't have dogs. That's another mistake. Seriously, when they say New Orleans cut a dog up, we don't have dogs separately. And B, we don't smoke marijuana or drink alcohol of any type. So these are people they're selecting, putting them in the costume so they can keep putting on the news, so they can try to keep their case sustained, because the sole purpose, again, is to set a precedent in Middle Georgia to go after all of the rich ministers. They're just using us so they can go after. You go to Atlanta, they got some big churches with thousands of followers, and a racist Georgia wants to go after them because they're getting too powerful. People like Creflo Dollar, a bunch of them up there, they need their churches. They're getting too powerful, and when they get that many blacks in one place, they'll be able to vote. And their biggest fear is them voting, priority votes. You
right.
Follow that?
Yes, I do.
Because they're trying to turn Georgia into a republic state, and 90% of it is Democrat.
That's
go ahead.
Right. Okay, so what you're saying is there is a lot of testimony and a lot of evidence that did not even make it into the court that the judge would not allow, or the jury was not allowed to deliberate on.
Privilege to it, right.
Right.
In fact, they put in the post in the newspaper, they said that the prosecution had 47 witnesses, and we only had 42. The difference between their witnesses and our witnesses were human beings, people who came to testify, and some of the so-called victims who came to testify on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Witness was done with FBI agent, doctors, so-called specialists, and their doctors are so ridiculous that they said, if there's no scars, there's molestation, and if there is scars, there's molestation. So the attorney asked, what's the purpose of the examination? And the doctor, so-called specialist, couldn't comment. How can you say, we got the minutes to that now,
mm-hmm.
How can you say that if there's no damage, there's molestation, and if there is damage, there's molestation? That's a no-win-lose situation.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff they were trying to hide. Because
right.
They couldn't tie me into anything. They couldn't tie me to the so-called. There was no videotape found in my house.
Mm-hmm.
No X-rated anything. They boasted they found all this X-rays, and none of it was tied to me at all.
Right.
When they raided my house, they found money. They didn't find money under my bed, first of all, because I have one of those mechanical beds, and you can't go up under it. First of all, nothing to do with Putnam County. I didn't live in Putnam County. I have no interest in the property in Putnam County, and I don't own it by far. It's owned by different people whose property. I said, I don't want nothing to do with the property. I haven't been around there for 2 years. I just was coming back around this 2002 for the savings day, and I was helping them shop, and that's when they arrested me in Baldwin County, because other than that, they checked the record, they'll find I hadn't even been there for 2 years. I hadn't even visited the land.
Hmm.
If I was that's all part of a hoax, it's a lie, it's a scandal. They got to pull down us. I have 407 books. My books are profound and thorough and factual, and they know it, and they see how fast organization is growing worldwide. They're intimidated by me. They're intimidated by my intelligence and intimidated by the growth of this organization. They tried to declare me Jesus. I never claimed to be Jesus. They tried to declare me God. I never claimed to be the God. I say all of us are children of the Most High God. Right? Whether
right.
You want to call them God, or you want to call them Elohim, or you want to call them Allah, any name that makes you feel happy. But the bottom line is, I don't claim to be Jesus Christ, and I never did. And it's written in my books, I don't claim to be any of the things that they had to use to make it a religious thing so they could eventually use this against other people. So they try to pull us down, try to destroy those people's land, that beautiful Egyptian village out there. People need to go out there and visit that Egyptian village and see why them white folks out there are so upset and want to tear it down. That's a small minority of racist people in a small town of Putnam County, and they see that this was all done independently of them, and it's sustaining itself. Then we moved to Athens. We started again over there to start another thing when I broke away from them, and they came out there and attacked us there also.
Okay. Well, the next question I would like to ask you when you call back is regarding the RICO and the money structuring charges, because it seems like that's a charge that doesn't really make sense of how it made it into this trial, and maybe you could enlighten the people on the reasons why it was, okay?
I'm going to go back.
All right.